thanks for the interest in the film. It's great.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm a horror fiend. So whenever anything has to do with horror or something of the occult or something like that, it's always kind of draws my attention. So, and it was really cool of Patricia to actually introduce us and kind of get the whole dialogue going. So now you, more importantly. So Commune, I loved it because it just had that creepy kind of like old gothic British horror element to it with elements of The Shining and a lot of things like that too. Now, what was like the genesis of like thinking of this specific short, like Commune, and using the location you used? How much kind of research did you use to kind of like get to that point where you got to the filming part of it?
Yeah, well, so I've been wanting to make a short film for a long while, and it's one of those things where you kind of push around loads of ideas, and you know, I think we're all inherently quite lazy, and you know, work gets in the way and stuff. So I happened to go to a Halloween party of a friend of a friend who was staying at the house that is the house we used in the location.
Oh, okay.
And he was actually staying there for his girlfriend's company, who were actually going to like. They were going to gut it and do it up and, you know, resell it on type thing and use the land. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we went there for, you know, he was staying there, like, he'd stayed there for like 2 or 3 months. And we went there for the Halloween party because it was a creepy place and we had a load of fun and, like, you know, dressed up and stuff. And when I was there, we were looking around and sort of checking it out because it just has all of the junk in it. It was just as it is on screen.
Yeah.
And we were saying this place, it's kind of too good to pass up. It's such an amazing looking space. We have to make something here. And then we started talking about, he told us a little bit about what he knew about the building, and it actually used to be a commune. And it was owned by a Jewish family for many years. And I think they'd moved on, but they'd had it since the '50s, I think. So it sort of went from there. And the reason was, so they were going to be this, the company were going to redevelop it, but they were going to do that in sort of a month or two times. So we didn't have very long. So I really wanted to do it, and I started pulling people together and sort of talking about it, and then realized I had to write something. So I just sort of took real life, and I kind of based the character of Tom in the film is based on my friend Jordan, who was staying there. And I was like, well, how about we do this whole Shining caretaker thing? And maybe there's, you know, maybe there's a sort of malevolent force that this sort of commune of people that have discovered and transcended or something, and then maybe they come back and they want to take the guy. So that's kind of how it started, really.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah. So it's kind of sort of based on reality in a way, but not. It's really weird. Yeah.
Well, about the actual neighborhood you shot it in too, I mean, you're saying it's like an old commune, like it was a Jewish commune from the 50s. Does the neighborhood itself have any type of history or something you kind of dug into a little bit?
It's in northeast London, so it's not far from, it's a large sort of like Jewish sort of town in a way, which is because I live around the corner. I used to live around the corner.
How convenient!
Really convenient. This is why it was sort of starting to come together. We were like, we just live like 5 minutes away. There's a lot of Jewish community and stuff there, and we knew all this, and they're very, you know, really like get on and stuff like this, And I discovered when we were in the house, like, that actually it was a Jewish commune. So I started looking into maybe using some sort of folklore from that. And I was looking at the film, I think it's The Gift, which has got instead of doing like Catholic sort of possessions, it's like Jewish sort of like possessions and stuff like that. So I was sort of looking into that and thinking that would be really interesting to do. But I did not have enough time to do any research. I'm not Jewish. I don't understand much about the culture. And I didn't want to, you know, slur or like make a problem, you know, about. So I just sort of thought maybe it's best to stay away from something I don't have time to research. But no, I mean, the area is just a normal sort of London suburb, really. It has like, you know, 1930s houses and Victorian houses, sort of a real mix. There's nothing else to suggest, like, it's not a religious building or anything. So it's just a house, right, really.
I guess that's what kind of makes it a little more unnerving, that it's just a normal house in the middle of a suburban neighborhood, you know what I mean? And it's like they have a malevolent force right here smack in the middle of like a pretty upstanding neighborhood. So
the commune that was there originally was kind of, I think, it, you know, it wasn't a religious commune. It was more to help out sort of like, you know, young, I don't know, traveling Jews or something. And like kind of, it was just sort of sort of safe house. I think this guy that used to be there actually ran it and sort of, you know, rented out rooms and stuff so that people could stay and like and see London and things. It wasn't a commune in the sense that I've gone for, where it's like a sort of cult.
Yeah, about but, to say, yeah. Commune kind of goes with cult almost. It's like synonymous to two words.
Exactly. So I was kind of, I played with, like, I was sort of looking originally at maybe like a sort of, like, I really did want to play on the whole like Jewish commune thing, but just as I say, I couldn't really do it. But I looked up words like, I think it's kibbutz, which is the Jewish for sort of, for like a sort of commune or like a kind of cult. But I just realized that I was way out of my depth with that, and I didn't want to like make an absolute mess of the movie and you know, insult like a part of London. So
yeah.
I thought I'd stick to it. Because with the occult, because there are no hard and fast rules, you can kind of write it yourself. So I sort of tried to draw on things that I kind of knew, like reading about Aleister Crowley and like, this sort of transcending and kind of, sort of black magic stuff that you're not really going to offend anyone with that. So,
yeah, except if like you offend like a Satanist or something like that, who's like, hey, this isn't real.
Yeah, that's true.
I still do this. Really, it's like, hold on, you're a Satanist. I'm not really, if you're offended by this, you have bigger problems going on.
Exactly. You want to come after me, you go ahead. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I grew up Jewish, and the thing is, you don't really hear a lot. I mean, you got The Exorcist. You have a lot of movies, all the exorcism movies now too. You know, the exorcism of this person, or the takening of this person. But you never, in reality, you never really hear a lot about kind of like Jewish folklore or Jewish type of possession films. I guess it's not really something that people really like you're saying, it's kind of not available, like nobody really talks about it.
I feel like the sort of Catholic tropes in terms of the kind of stuff that we used to like say, like The Exorcist and everything, we've got like basically Exorcist and whatever, 30 years now, 40 years later, we have that every year there's like 10 sort of possession films or whatever. We're really used to the sort of power of Christ and all that kind of stuff, and I think it's there's a lot of religions out there, and they all have their own demons and they all have their own sort of scary stories. I was looking at some Japanese religions like a while ago, and some of their ghost stories are terrifying. Really horrible. I mean, we've obviously seen things like The Ring and stuff, but even like the sort of Japanese, like the old school religions, like they have really scary stories, but to actually do them justice would take so much work. And like, I mean, you probably heard when you were growing up, we heard, like the names of demons in Jewish, in Jewish religion and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, luckily we never really got, the most I know about kind of like Jewish retribution and kind of like anything that's like reasonably supernatural is like the whole concept of like creating golems and things like that. And golems are basically like vengeful spirits that like a rabbi or somebody of faith would put like a spirit into them, and they would be like they're like a defender almost. So it's kind of used. I mean, there's an episode of X-Files also, and it was called, actually, I think it was called Kibbutz or something like that. And it's all about a person who kills a rabbi, and then later on he gets murdered, or like a group of people are getting murdered, and it ends up they're being murdered by a golem that was created by another rabbi. But you don't really get a lot of things like that. There aren't a lot of stories that people tell about Jewish retribution or Jewish possession. It's kind of like an interesting thing that you're right there. Like, and it's, I'd like to hear more about it. You know what I mean?
It's fascinating. Yeah, I think it's real. I think it's, I mean, yeah, it's a rich, every religion has such a rich kind of history to it. I think it's totally a place for, to people should start looking at that as a place to sort of take stories. Yeah, it's sort of fascinating.
Yeah, God, we went a whole different direction. We got all biblical and religious, and hey, that's fine. I mean, it's something that I'm sure is probably, hopefully, a breath of fresh air if it's something you don't really talk about in interviews and things like that. It's like kind of going into a different direction, but that's cool though. Definitely. Now, I guess you're kind of like growing up in, I assume you grew up in London or kind of in the UK. Mm-hmm. Were you like a fan of like the Hammer horror, or were you more of a Universal horror? I mean, what did you grow up with, like horror wise, when you were, I mean, obviously you're a fan of the genre, making films like Commune.
Yeah.
But what's kind of like your genesis with that?
Well, I really remember my dad taking me to see The Exorcist, actually. And he used to play at the Trocadero in Piccadilly every Friday night at midnight. And he took me there when I was probably I was too young to see it. I think I was probably about 13 years old.
It terrified me.
I couldn't watch half of it, but then the sound of it was almost worse when I couldn't see it. And like, so I have him to thank for kind of getting me involved. Not that he's a big horror fan, but he just thought, I think I badgered him about seeing it. I was like, I had to see it, and he took me to see it. But no, I mean, I'm a big fan of all those things. I love all the sort of the Universal horrors. I love the sort of Frankenstein's and the Boris Karloff kind of take, and I love all the sort of creature feature and the monster flicks. That sort of thing's great. But I have a real love of supernatural. So I love like Poltergeist, and I've always been really fascinated with ghosts and the sort of unexplained, and people have bizarre stories and they can't work out why they are the way they are. I'm just interested in them across the board, really. I quite like, I was a big fan of Ghostbusters when I was a kid, so I guess that's ghosts again.
Yeah.
but I like the way that they treated it, the ghosts, like although it was a comedy, the world of them fighting spirits was very real. They didn't joke about ghosts in the sense that that was just taken as red, like this is real. They were joking about the fact they had to do it for something rather than, I don't know, it's just, I liked all that. Yeah, I don't know, I'm just a big fan of horror across the board. I suppose I'm not so keen on like torture films and
like torture porn and things like Hostels or Saw and stuff like that.
I mean, they have their place, and they were very, like Saw was very interesting because it was quite different, but then I think it got tired. Some slasher stuff gets, doesn't really necessarily do it for me, although I love like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a great film, so. And I quite enjoy, I was going to say Nightmare on Elm Street, but then that's more supernatural, isn't it? So
yeah, when you really think about it, it is kind of a supernatural dreamscape type scenario, yeah.
Yeah, but I think, and zombie films were really fun when I was growing up, but I feel like I feel quite sort of saturated by those now. They're really, there's so many, I really enjoyed 28 Days Later and like the old 70s, like Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead, and then they remade Dawn of the Dead, and that was amazing. Yeah. But I sort of feel now that like I'm not interested in The Walking Dead. I haven't watched any of that.
Yeah, I kind of gave up last season myself too. I just kind of didn't. I just wasn't. I wasn't into it anymore. Like it just was becoming more of a soap opera than it was kind of a zombie. I appreciate what they're trying to do. You know, trying to make it more of about the humans and the zombies. Zombies are just kind of like a means to an end. But it just, to me personally, I just kind of dropped out of it. Like, and everybody keeps saying, like, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Negan, everybody says he's great and he's wonderful and he's doing a great job. But it's really hard to kind of pull me back in a little bit. So
I just think, I think the cool thing about supernatural and the occult and stuff like that is there's almost an infinite places to go. If you wanted to do a really straight exorcism film, you'd have to like follow the sort of rules of the church and stuff. But if you want to do something that like Poltergeist, you can go wherever you want. You can completely make it up. But I think the thing with zombies is that there isn't. I think it feels like we've done everything. Like we've gone everywhere with that now. I saw a short film at the London Short Film Festival actually last Friday where Commune was playing, and it looked like it was going to be quite an interesting like zombie film. It was panning out quite interestingly, and then it was the whole idea of the film, I'm going to give it away, but it was a gag, it was a play on Dawn of the Dead. It was just Dawn of the Death. But the setup was really interesting, where basically everyone was dying and then sort of resurrecting as zombies, and it was sort of a pulse that had killed everyone, but deaf people didn't hear it, so they survived. So all that was left was this sort of, all these sort of deaf people who were sort of like sign languaging each other and stuff, signing each other and then trying to fight zombies. And I was thinking, that's quite an interesting take. I've never seen that before. And then it just ended because it's a short film. It just said Dawn of the Death. I don't know if it's a calling card to make a longer movie or what, but I don't know. I was kind of thinking, someone actually did something different with the zombie. It's quite cool, but
really get that. I mean, the genre is shambling zombies, and then of course, then they made them fast zombies, which I'm not a fan of that. I mean, I understand in movies like 28 Days Later, where it's more of an infection and a virus, where you're still living, you're not dead yet, but. I guess it's funny when I say like the science behooves me, where I'm like, they're dead, they're rigor mortis, they can't run fast, but it's like, oh, I remember, it's a zombie movie, I shouldn't really be thinking about science.
yeah, exactly.
Too much.
Yeah, but it is a worry. If you question it, and those things do come up. So I think that
So I'm trying to use logic in zombie movies, but it's okay. I mean, at least like in movies like Day of the Dead, there is some type of like they try to provide some science to the concept of like zombies' brains and how they react and conditioning. So.
They study them.
But yeah, but I do feel like the zombie genre has kind of run its course. Like, what more can you do? But at least with this movie, Dawn of the Death, it's kind of like, okay, you're flipping it on its head a little bit, where it's different slightly.
Yeah.
But it's
and then you'd maybe get a group of, you know, deaf people, and it'd be their plight and their sort of struggle. But
yeah,
I don't know if that would be how different that would actually be from something like Walking Dead. I don't know, but yeah, it's interesting.
You got to try at least, right? So
yeah, exactly.
Now, Commune is your second short film you've directed, and you also directed another short film back in 2001. You directed Hindsight.
Yes.
What was like kind of like, since Hindsight was done like 15 years ago almost, what did you take anything from Hindsight? What was kind of Hindsight about? So comparing the two films, like, you know, how different are the two of them? What did you learn from 15 years of filmmaking basically between short films?
Yeah. Well, it's like I've been sort of biding my time. It's so Hindsight was the film I had to make for my university course. I had to make a major, which is a 10-minute drama for university. So, and Hindsight's, very, very, well, I say it's very different to Commune. It does have a sort of supernatural edge to it, but it's not a horror film. It does exist, actually. I'll send you the link.
Oh, that'd be great, just so I can
It's just kicking around on YouTube somewhere. So Hindsight's about a guy, it's a guy and a girl, and they have an argument and in a car, and he's not paying attention on the road, and he crashes the car and it kills her. And then I won't spoil it, but he really wants to get her back, so he uses some sort of regressive therapy to try and reach out to her in the past to try and get her to not get in the car, basically. So it does have a sort of supernatural kind of, or otherworldly sort of aspect to it, but it's very much a sort of drama about love, and it's a bit like what was that film? Is it Through Time or
About Time? Is it About Time?
About Time, maybe. Yeah. Which is this sort of thing where you're trying to like reach someone in the past or the future to try and give them a message to try and help them out. But, so it's got a sort of time travel element, but without being so Back to the Future. It's not overtly scientific or anything.
Yeah.
So that was good, and it did quite well. It won, it got nominated for a Royal Television Society Award and stuff. I didn't win, but. It was a really good start to my career. I then went and became an editor and didn't really make anything for the next sort of 15 years. I've worked on other people's shorts, and I've made a few little sort of skits and things like that online. But I sort of look back now and wonder why I didn't use it as a springboard to go sort of directly into filmmaking, but. I guess the path you take is the path you take, and I've since made Commune, so that's all right. It just took me a while to get to it.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, better late than never. I mean, some people make one thing and then they're completely done. You never hear from them again. So just the fact that there's, even though there was a large gap, you were still making yourself busy over the course of those years, but now you're back in it again. And it seems like Commune has really got like a good kind of head of steam going forward now. With it, so you seem to have a lot of things going on now. Are there any kind of like American film festivals that Commune is going to be kind of entered in, or going to be kind of kicking around over here in the States, or is it staying more on the? I know I saw it on Vimeo, but I didn't know if you were going to maybe be entering it into any other kind of short film contests or short film.
I've actually got the list here somewhere. I'll just dig it out because I can never remember what we're going to. It might be getting loud, but sorry, our washing machine's spinning in the background. I don't think you can hear that.
That's fine. I get it.
It's been over. It has actually been to America, and it's been kind of all over the world, which I'm really amazed at. But it was what we've got coming up. So let's have a look. Yeah, we're still waiting to hear back actually from a couple. So there's the World Fest in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Which is in April. There's the Bloody Horror International Film Festival, which is in the States. one that I'm really pleased that we've entered into, and just waiting to hear back, which is the Overlook Film Festival.
Ooh,
which takes place in the hotel that they shot the exterior of The Shining in.
Oh, in Estes Park, I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, which is awesome. So I'm really hoping we get into that one. So yeah, it's in a couple. I think it's in the Winter Film Awards, which is in New York, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah, good. You have some good stuff going on then. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's definitely got some. So there's a couple. I think in Canada, there's the Vancouver Badass Film Festival. I'm still waiting to hear back from that. Yeah, so there's some stuff coming up. As soon as we know that we're in or not, I'll be posting that and stuff on social media. So.
Fantastic.
I'll let you know.
Fantastic. Well, I guess what's like next? I mean, I know you guys made this film's in the can, obviously, but are you kind of working towards something else now, or do you have some ideas kicking around just based on the success that you're having with Commune so far? Do you want to keep exploring like Supernatural? Do you want to kind of like, you know, it seems like, you know, between Hindsight and Commune, it was like kind of a 180 flip of kind of like concepts. Are you going to keep going with this kind of supernatural element?
Well,
or?
Yeah. I mean, I really like horror, and I think I would like to do another horror film, but I think maybe not so sort of haunted house, not so maybe obviously horror.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make something. I was sort of thinking about things like Jacob's Ladder and stuff like that, where films that have sort of horror elements, or you know, have a sort of. So like real life, but with a sort of with a supernatural side to it, or a, you know, something like turning something on its head. So so maybe taking I mean, I've got a whole bunch of different ideas actually, but I just never know which one to choose. But I think instead of doing something that's you know, like we were saying, like zombie or a creature feature or something like that, play around with a sort of regular story. But then put in a sort of very sort of horror or supernatural element. So I was sort of reading a lot about what's it called? My brain's gone. lucid dreaming. There we go.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you're aware that you're dreaming inside a dream. So sort of maybe not quite so Inception, but the sort of idea that maybe. They're blurring the lines between reality and and subconscious and stuff. So you're kind of, maybe if someone was to get into lucid dreaming, as a sort of a high or something, perhaps there's like some guy at work suggests that you can do it because then maybe you can live out your fantasies and have a great time and get the girl of your dreams.
Yeah.
And then maybe it starts encroaching into his life. Mm. He can't discern what's real and what's not. And it feels like you could do that in a fairly low budget way where you're playing with like editing and sort of repeating scenes, but they're slightly different each time. And just kind of stuff like that, really. So,
kind of like a little bit of a, like maybe Total Recall-ish, Nightmare on Elm Street-ish kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that dreamscape, but maybe not. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I love Nightmare on Elm Street, but there's a sort of hokiness to it where it feels a bit kind of. But maybe, yeah, but definitely the Total Recall, that kind of, yeah, you're not sure, has this happened before? I mean, even, we were talking the other day, actually, about Groundhog Day.
Mm, yeah.
If you were to make Groundhog Day as a straight film, it would actually be quite terrifying, because you'd be locked into this world.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone like, you know, kind of frustratedly losing their mind, because they're repeating the same day over and over. Whereas they make Groundhog Day and it's hilarious. So because
Bill Murray, you put anybody else in there.
But, imagine if it was like thousands of years that you were, you know, sort of living the same sort of dream. I'm a big fan of like Twilight Zone and Outer Limits and stuff, where you get this sort of weird subversive sort of, turning reality upside down. And then, you know, kind of revealing to the audience why that's happened. And it's kind of like, oh my God, you know, like pulling the rug out from under their feet.
Yeah, right. I mean, speaking of that, I mean, are you a fan of, have you seen Black Mirror and things like that? Are you a fan of Black Mirror?
Oh, yeah, I love Black Mirror. I think I just, like, I'm not big on box sets, but with the recent one that's just been on Netflix, I just watched it back to back. It's incredible.
Yeah, I finished the first season, and it scared my wife. She was
at
the first episode. She was disturbed. She was like, "I can't deal with this." I mean, I get it. It is very disturbing. Just kind of like the whole concept of it, and just, you know,
yeah.
It seems like so close to where we are right now as a society, and as like as the world is, like we're one tweet away from having this really be a thing, and we're like, oh no,
yeah, exactly.
We're living in the Black Mirror,
and it's kind of terrifying in that sense, because it's it's terrifying to see it happening on screen, but it's, you think, oh, you know, that's like, if you're seeing a movie that doesn't, that's sort of not based in reality, you're thinking, okay, that's terrifying, but I can put it away because it's on TV. But yeah, like if it's something that's got a comment on what's actually happening in your life,
yeah,
that's even more terrifying, because you're like, yeah, this actually, that could happen. Like, oh my God, yeah.
It's a little too real almost, where it's like, I know this isn't real and it's not happening, but we're not far. I mean, it's completely terrifying. And even the things that are a little more far-fetched, like kind of like, you know, people bicycling for like energy and things like that, it's like, we're not living in that world, but it's like still the whole concept.
I can totally see it happening though, like, yeah, it's kind of, yeah,
the exploitation of humans in several different ways for the most
part. Yeah, exactly. Charlie Brooker's a really interesting writer, actually, you know, and with the last with the Black Mirror that's on Netflix, because there was a series that was on in the UK on TV,
mm-hmm.
And then he's just made this one with Netflix. But I think the he gets in writers as well, so I think it's a really great, like, you know, it must be brilliant for those guys that have got, you know, a chance to write a one-off episode of a, you know, like, of a really bizarre story. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's scary, but it's also, it's one of those things that, God, you know, thinking about it, like, they're ahead of their time. Like, they're setting this kind of, like, we're looking at this from a very close and personal and scary point in time right now. Especially right now, I think, if you had maybe watched it when it first came out, it's like, oh, okay, this doesn't bother me as much. But now, in the world we're living in, it's even more like, oh boy, it's super like, oh boy, this is like, they were fortune tellers almost, you know what I mean? So
yeah, exactly. We'll look back. I mean, there was an episode of on the TV series they did in the UK. I don't know if you guys have ever had access to it, but there was one where they had this story about, they took the I think it must have been our a politician? It might have been our they took a politician, sorry, my brain's really dead today.
That's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah. So it was they took a politician for ransom, and then they were forcing him to have sex with a pig.
Oh yeah, that was the first episode.
You've seen that one, okay.
Yeah, that was the very first episode, and that's the one that turned my wife off.
So you guys have got those?
Yes.
That's the one you're talking about. I see.
That was the first
I've just watched the new series that have the, it has like Bryce Dallas Howard in and stuff like that.
Yeah, those are ones. I've only seen the first series, which was only three episodes. So it was the pig, it was the one with people biking like in an underground area.
Sorry, I got confused. Yeah, okay.
And the one with Toby Kebbell with the rewinding your memories back through your eyes and things like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, the grain or whatever. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, those three.
There was talk about turning that into a feature film at one point.
I mean,
that's really cool.
Yeah, I really do like it a lot. I got to watch the rest of them.
You've got some good ones to come then, that's great.
Absolutely. Worked with over the course of, let's say, 15 years on editing and even commune. Is it kind of like a commune type thing where you bring a lot of people you know to do the film with you? Because I know it's a small cast, but you know, people behind the scenes, like, you know, have people been with you since the beginning of Hindsight and still working with today, especially on this film right now?
Yeah, well, interestingly, actually, so Hindsight was made at university, and quite a few people that I'm still friends with from university worked on Commune. So the Tim G, the director of photography, he actually shot Hindsight back when we were like 21 at university.
Oh, wow.
And he's gone on to be a cameraman and a director of photography, and he came back in to do Commune. So he was quite instrumental in getting it made, actually. So, and I sort of always knew without kind of even asking him, because we just sort of talk and chat about these things, that, you know, if he was available, I could just say, hey, do you want to do a film? And he'd be able to, like, get the kit and stuff. So, yeah, so Tim's definitely, like, one of the, you know, the old school who's still part of it. But the guy who graded it, Andrew Daniel, I didn't meet him at uni, but I met him, must have been about 23 at the time, so that's, like, yeah, so that's, like, over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
12, 13 years ago, yeah. So, like, he graded it. So we met when we were runners and stuff, and now he's a colorist, and then, like, you know, I've gone on to be an editor and stuff. So, and actually the sound designer was from that same company, Robin Green. So yeah, they're all kind of people I picked up sort of through my career. The only new person on it really was Tom Weller, the main
the main character.
Main actor. Mm. But weirdly, he actually went to my college. I just never knew him. I put a shout out when I was trying to sort of get people to work on it, and I didn't know how to find an actor. That was one thing I didn't really know how to do. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've got a cameraman, I can do the post production, I've got a house. Where do you get an actor from? So I put a shout out to some friends, and they said, oh yeah, my mate Tom, like, you know, he used to be a child star, but now he's turned his back on it, but he's thinking about getting back into it. Mm-hmm. And then we got in touch, and then he was like, oh yeah, we went to the same college. It's like, what? That's so weird. So like. So there's a sort of weird serendipity about it as well, that we kind of actually, you know, almost as if it's meant to be. And I'm sure I'd use him again. He was a really, really good guy to work with. He was so generous, and like, he didn't mind that we were sort of unprepared and like kind of, you know, like scrabbling around to try and get stuff done. He was really helpful and would talk stuff through. And yeah, so no, I think it's all about collaboration, really. And like, it wouldn't be the film it is without the people that are involved by any means. Yeah. I know that I did quite a lot of stuff myself, in the sense that I directed it, produced it, edited it, but without the score, and without the sound design, and the sort of the lighting that Tim did and stuff, it wouldn't be the film it is. So I owe it to those guys, really.
Yeah, it's all about the company you keep, you know, and it's great that you've had long-time contributors and long-time people that have been working with you since the beginning that are still willing to keep working with you. And it's like, you know, of course you have the big directors here, you know, or big directors anywhere around the world that continue to work with the same people over and over.
Mm.
But it's good even like in the short film community, in kind of indie film community, that it's still alive and well, that people just want to keep working with the same people, because it's a good collaboration between people, like minds.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd always sort of said it, and you know, because you always feel, especially at this level when there's no money involved, people are doing it out of the goodness of their heart. Mm-hmm. And I'd always said, oh, you know, I'll definitely put it into festivals and we'll see how it does and stuff. Yeah. But I couldn't have ever imagined that it would be doing as well as it is. And I hope as a sort of currency for the next time I make one, I can say to all these guys, hey, if that one did so well, let's do it again. And like, make it bigger and better. And hopefully they'll be even more on board than they ever were. So it's really cool.
It's good. I mean, people still want to see, like, you know, that there's upward mobility doing it. It's like, oh, it's doing well. It's like, look, you're taking the steps to kind of push it to the next level. Yeah. Thanks, Thomas. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time, you know, and being candid.
Pleasure.
And just kind of like talking about, we talked about everything. We talked about religion. We talked about zombies. We talked about supernatural.
We got it covered, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely covered. Talked some Black Mirror, talked some TV. So we did a little bit of conversation about everything, which is pretty cool. I like when it's just kind of off-the-cuff interviews where you can just kind of like flow into wherever you want to flow into, as opposed to something scripted.
I mean, I've done a couple of written ones now, and they kind of, I probably write in a quite a conversational sense, but I obviously go back and edit myself, so I make sure that I kind of stick to the point. But in a way, like you say, it's nice to ramble and find out where it goes. It's really cool. So,
I mean, written is fine because it's more structured. It's like, and it's easier. It's like, here's your list. Can you fill it? It's like answering a questionnaire, which can be a little like, a little tedious.
Yeah.
And it's like a job interview almost. And I don't want it to be a job interview. I just want it to be a conversation. So
great. That's very cool.
Try to make it as easy as possible. But appreciate it, Thomas. You know, good luck with all the festivals coming up. It seems like you have a pretty busy 2017.